Brothers who finished their salah request to come closer, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله we were covering this chapter باب فضل البكاء من خشية الله تعالى وشوقا إليه الله تعالى كفضل وكرم سي we were covering and studying these ahadith about the virtues of crying out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah تعالى کے در کے معنی رونا Allah تعالى کے در سے Rona, or is it out of yearning and desire to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah ta'ala ke muhabbat, or Allah ta'ala ke saath hone, or Allah ta'ala ke saath ja milne, ke shok se insan jo hai roye. To iske fazilat ke silsile mein, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi ne ye baab bandha hai. So, وعنه قال أبو بكر لعمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما بعد وفاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انطلق بنا إلى أم أيمنة رضي الله عنها نزورها كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يزورها فلما انتهينا إليها بكت فقال لها ما يبكيك أما تعلمين أن ما عند الله تعالى خير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت إني لا أبكي أني لا أعلم أن ما عند الله خير لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولكني أبكي أن الوحي قد انقطع من السماء فهيجتهما على البكاء فجعلا يبكيان معها رواه مسلم وقد سبق في باب زيارة أهل الخير سيدنا أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه So in this chapter Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is bringing those ahadith which mention the virtues of crying. Last week we talked about how crying is a sign of soft-heartedness, when the heart becomes soft. And when the heart is hard, jab dil sakht ho, dil murda ho, then it's very, very hard to cry. Tears don't come easily. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions certain things which make the hard heart. For example, talking excessively. It's a famous hadith. لا تكثر الكلام بغير ذكر الله فإن كثرة الكلام بغير ذكر الله قسوة للقلب Don't talk excessively ایران توران کی بات ہے گپشپ Too much gupshup, too much talking hardens the heart دل کو سخت کر دیتا ہے And وَإِنَّ أَبْعَدَ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْقَلْبُ الْقَاسِي The person who is furthest away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala جو شخص اللہ تعالیٰ کے سب سے زیادہ دور ہے وہ شخص جس کا دل سخت ہو اور دل مردہ ہو So it's very important اسی طرح the recitation of the Quran تلاوت of Quran ذکر mentioning death remembering death talking about death visiting the graveyard these things they soften the heart And then we have the different forms of ذکر Some forms of ذکر create the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They make a person overpowered and overawed with the greatness of Allah. The third kalima, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar. And then there are some forms of dhikr which create this softness on the heart. Excessive istighfar, excessive durood sharif. These things soften a person's temperament, they soften a person's heart. So we should do excessively. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek istighfar excessively, send durood sharif excessively. There should never be a second where our tongue is idle. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, even when he was relieving himself, he'd have to place a stone in his mouth so that automatically the tongue doesn't start doing dhikr. کیونکہ ان کی عادت اس طرح تھی کہ کبھی بھی جو ہے زبان اللہ تعالیٰ کی یاد سے غفلت غافل نہیں ہوتا تو اس لیے منہ کے اندر کچھ رکھنا پڑتا تاکہ زبان اپنے طور پر اللہ تعالیٰ کے ذکر میں مصروف نہ ہو جائے. ایون جب اپنے آپ کو بیت الخلاء میں جاتے اور اپنے قضاء حاجت کرتے ہیں. This is very important. Always, always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah. MashaAllah, these tasbihs, tally counters, these things are there. People, we need to set these big targets. I'm going to read Astaghfirullah, subhanAllah, as the Shaykh Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi mentions in his upbeat theme. The women of the family of Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi, just the women. He would mention that just while they were doing the household chores, they would be reciting so many paras of the Quran. And subhanAllah, so many, he mentions about his grandmother. The mother of Mawlana Yahya Sahib rahmatullahi alayh. How many? I can't even remember the numbers. Thousands of times, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Thousands of times, first kalima, third kalima, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, astaghfirullah. So many forms of dhikr, subhanallah, on a daily basis. We're not talking about jab khatam ka, fourth ghee ke waqt. You write down in the parcha, fourth ghee ke waqt, how many yasins have been recited, how many first kalimas, how many third kalimas. No, daily, daily. So this only happens when the tongue is constantly busy. Someone comes to me to talk about something, chalo, 1 or 2 minutes, I give them that time. There was a great scholar, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Jawzi, rahmatullahi alayh. He wrote over 500 books. Subhanallah, great scholar of Islam. He never used to waste a second of his time. But he had this big problem. He mentions in his Sayyidul Khatir, he says, what should I do when people come to me and start talking and start wasting my time? I thought to myself, I need to have a plan. Because people are going to come, you can't avoid it. لوگ آ جاتے ہیں اور بات کرنا شروع کر دیتے ہیں, کیا کروں اس وقت کے اندر. So he said, I thought to myself, you know, when I'm writing my books, I need a time to sharpen my pens and I need a time to change my papers. So that's what I will do when people come and start talking to me. So every time people would start coming, he'd start sharpening his pens. He'd talk to them, sharpen his pens, get his ink ready, get his paper ready. So even that time is not getting wasted. So then later he will feel, even though I was talking to that person, I still got something done. So this is how the pious people, subhanAllah, every second, every minute was precious to them. So we need to keep ourselves busy with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, soften the heart. And when the heart is soft, tears will come very, very easily. You'll recite something. So subhanAllah, the pious people, they would carry those books. Allah ta'ala ki muhabbat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki muhabbat. These are essential things every Muslim needs to have. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. The month of Rabiul Awwal has come and gone. How much do we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The pious people would read those books that would increase their love and muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It makes the heart so soft as well. You remember Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They'd listen to some naat and they'd start crying and they'd become a total mess. And it's mentioned about Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullahi alaihi. Whenever he would go on a journey, he would take 3 books with him. Har waqt apne saath 3 kitabe rakhte the. Quran Sharif, Mathnawi Sharif, or Dalaila Khairat Sharif. So whenever he would travel, he'd keep 3 books. Quran Sharif, Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, essential. On a daily basis, the Muslim believer reads. Mathnawi Sharif, subhanallah. If someone who understands Farsi and has love of Allah ta'ala, the Mathnawi is like a remedy for the pain of the heart. They need it. It's like a medicine, because the heart is hurting out of pain of separation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Mathnawi Sharif has the cure of that and the remedy to that. So you read it daily. And then the Dalailul Khairat Sharif, such beautiful Durus Sharifs which are mentioned inside of there, on a daily basis they would recite. It would increase the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the point is, we need to make it effort to soften the heart, build the love of Allah, build the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then crying comes easily. It shouldn't just be ke gunahon ke mare mein ro raha hoon. Ye to ek cheez hai, and it's important as well that a person cries out of the fear of Allah because of sinning, but also muhabba, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember Allah and I'm just overwhelmed with my love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like a person remembers his parents, father, mother, how much father and mother have done for me, and then the heart becomes soft and you start to cry. MashaAllah, I had one classmate once, and he was such a soft-hearted person. Every time you talk about his mom and dad, he'd start crying. Every time you start talking about his granddad and grandma, he'd start crying. And myself, I do, because of maybe, I don't know, we didn't have such a close relationship with our grandparents, they in a different kind of, from a different time period or something. But every time he'd start talking, he'd say, my dada, and then he'd start crying. Subhanallah, you know, he had so much muhabba for his grandparents, he remembers them, he starts crying. So this is how every believer needs to be when it comes to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We remember them, we start, our heart becomes soft. There is no way we can disobey a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no way we can go against the sunnah of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how the heart needs to become. So this hadith, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu narrates that Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu said to Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhuma, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that intaliq bina ila Ummi Ayman, come with us. Let's go and visit Ummu Ayman radiyallahu anha. Who is Ummu Ayman? Ummu Ayman radiyallahu anha, her real name was Baraka. She was the maid of Amina. Sayyidatuna Amina, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummu Ayman was her maid. And her name was Baraka. And she had a son called Ayman, then she was called Ummu Ayman. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning, when remember Sayyidatuna Amina, her husband Sayyidina Abdullah had passed away before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was even born. So Ummu Ayman used to help out with the household chores. She would look after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when Sayyidatuna Amina developed this desire in her heart that I want to go and visit my husband's grave in Yathrib, Madinatul Munawwara, so she took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she took Ummu Ayman on this journey. And she went and she visited the grave and she was so overwhelmed with sadness. On the way back, she also fell ill and she passed away and she was buried in a place called Abwa. And then Ummu Ayman radiyallahu anha was the lady who actually brought Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. And she cared for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like a mother cares for a child. To the extent that the books of Seerah mention that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would speak to her, he would address her, he would call her Ummi, Ummi, my mother. Because he didn't have a mother from the age of 6. So he would call her Ummi. And he also mentions in certain narrations that Ummu Ayman radiallahu anha would speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like a mother speaks to a child. You know, sometimes when you, not reprimand, but you say, why didn't you do this? You haven't eaten anything. Why you, you know, in a way that only a mother can speak to a child, she would speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way that nobody else could speak to him that way. And Rasulullah would listen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would always go to her, he would always visit her. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's close Sahabi, and initially he was his adopted son, Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When his marriage between himself and Sayyidatuna Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha didn't work out, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha, "Oh Zayd, I have a marriage proposal for you. If you accept it, I guarantee you Jannah." Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu said, "Ya Rasulullah, I am ready, whatever you want." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Zayd, I want you to get married to Ummu Ayman." And Zayd bin Haritha and Sayyidatuna Ummu Ayman, they got married. And from them they had a child called Usama bin Zayd. And this Usama bin Zayd was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at times would give him more attention than he would give to Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. And everybody would know, if you want to mention something, if you want to do sifarish, and you want someone to go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on your behalf, to intercede on your behalf, go to Usama bin Zayd. He'll be he is the most closest Hibbun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was the child of this, you know, this blessed couple, Ummu Ayman and Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha. Anyway, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum are talking and they're saying, why don't we go and visit Ummu Ayman? In the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would go regularly with Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we would visit her, so let's go and visit her. So, فَلَمَّنْ تَهَيْنَا إِلَيْهَا, when they came to see her, bakat, they found her crying. She was crying. فَقَالَ لَهَا, they said to her, مَا يُبْكِيكِ, oh, our beloved mother, what is making you cry? Why are you crying? They initially thought, okay, she is crying, radiallahu anha, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. Everybody is crying for the same reason. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left the earth. The Sahaba was struck with a blow that nothing else could compare. Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, he says, he mentions it beautifully, the Marthiya, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he wrote this, what do they call it in English, this, what do you call it, like a eulogy. In English you call it eulogy. When someone passes away, you remember them and you mention something to praise them. So he wrote this beautiful thing, and he mentions in there, I can't remember the Arabic, He says that no day has, no people have ever felt sadness on any day like the sadness that was felt on the day that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. Imagine, the Sahaba were totally broken. So Maymunah radiallahu anha is crying. Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, they assume she is crying because Rasulullah has passed away sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they are reassuring her, and they say to her, أَمَا تَعْلَمِينَ أَنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى خَيْرٌ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. O our beloved mother, do you not know that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with him is better for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, جو اللہ کے پاس ہے وہ حضور صلى الله عليه وسلم کے لئے بہتر ہے اس دنیا کے زندگی سے. From the life of this dunya, whatever is with Allah, that is better for Rasulullah. He's going to a better place, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Look at the reply of Umm Ayman radiallahu anha. She says, "Inni la abki, anni la a'lamu anna ma 'inda Allahi khayrun li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." She said, "I'm not crying because I don't know this. I know this. I know that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with him is better for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walakinni abki anna al-wahya qad inqata'a min as-sama'i. But I am crying because the revelation has stopped coming down from the skies. The wahy has stopped coming down from the skies. As long as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Mubarak blessed personality was with us, there was a direct connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a problem, the answer comes straight away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Famously, the example, Surah Al-Mujadila. What's the ayah? قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. Woman comes and complains, "Ya Rasulullah, I'm going to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِّي أَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I'm complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Straight away Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings down, mentions revelation in her favor. So this close bond that Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this nisbat has now broken. We are not going to get wahi and revelation anymore. That's finished. And when, subhanAllah, this deep reality, when it became manifest and apparent in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, that this is the reality. As long as Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was amongst us, everything was coming. It's like we had a special bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The malaika were coming, the angels fighting with us in jihad. The angels, we were seeing Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, famously hadith of Jibreel. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam is coming in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, and we are seeing all of this. All of this is now finished. We will not get this opportunity again. So they also, فَهَيَّجَتْهُمَا عَلَى الْبُكَاءِ. So this also brought them to tears. فَجَعَلَا يَبْكِيَانِ مَعَهَا. So they both started to cry with Umm Ayman radiallahu anha. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال لما اشتد برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وجعه قيل له في الصلاة فقال مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس. فقالت عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها إن أبا بكر رجل رقيق إذا قرأ القرآن غلبه البكاء فقال مروه فليصلي. وفي رواية عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قلت إن أبا بكر إذا قام مقامك لم يسمع الناس من البكاء. متفق عليه. سيدنا عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما, he mentions that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's final illness became very, very severe, his illness became very severe, and he couldn't come and lead the sahaba in salah, اشتد برسولالله وجعه صلى الله عليه وسلم, قيل له في الصلاة, somebody asked him about salat, ke namaz kon padhaye ga, who is going to lead the people in salah? Ya Rasulullah, you're very ill, you know, you don't have the energy and strength to lead people in salah, who's going to do it? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مروا أبا بكر فليصلي بالناس. Tell Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, فَلْيُصَلِّ بِالنَّاسِ, he should go and lead the people in salah. فَقَالَتْ عَائِشَةُ, سَيِّدَتُنَا عَائِشَةُ radiallahu anha, أُمُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, she says, إِنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ رَجُلٌ رَقِيقٌ. My father Abu Bakr is a very soft-hearted person, very soft-hearted, both naram dil. إِذَا قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ غَلَبَهُ الْبُكَاءُ. When he starts to recite the Quran, then crying overcomes him. Rona in par ghalib aa jata hai. جب قرآن مجید کی تلاوت شروع کرتے فوراً رونا ان پر غالب آ جاتے ہیں. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مُرُوهُ فَلْيُصَلِّ. No, go and tell him that he must lead the people in salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not change his mind. It's a very clear indication that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to take over the responsibility when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the dunya. This is one of the clear things that we see. And the more important part of the hadith about the soft-heartedness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. As soon as the tilawah of Quran would start, he would start to cry. As soon as he would start reciting the Quran, he would start to cry. So he was mentioning this soft-heartedness, that a person has such a love. And this tilawat of Quran, in the tilawat of Quran, we're remembering the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're remembering Allah ta'ala's power, Allah's might, Allah's adab, Allah's reward, all of these things. Each of these things are individual reasons to cry. You remember Allah out of longing to be with Allah, a person cries. You remember Allah's adab, out of fear of Allah's adab, a person cries. You recite about Jannah and you recite about the amazing blessings that Allah Ta'ala has prepared in this dunya and in the akhirah, a person cries out of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many things that can motivate a person to cry. And a person who has this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understands and appreciates the beauty of the Quran is brought to tears. So that's why it's very, very important that we, these tips I mentioned before, these practical tips to soften the heart. Firstly, and obviously one thing I should have mentioned straight away probably, is to stay away from sin. Staying away from guna. Staying away from guna. Shaykh Allama Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions so many harms of sinning, about 100 harms of sinning. One of them, he says, is that it makes the hard heart. دل مردہ ہو جاتا ہے سخت ہو جاتا ہے گناہوں کی نحوست کی وجہ سے. That's why it's very important, stay away from sin, every form of sin. Sin of the eyes, control the eyes, control the ears, all of the sins of the body parts, the sins of the mind. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was called Siddiq. Last week I was mentioning that صادق الأقوال والأفعال والأحوال, that a person whose actions are in accordance with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His words are in accordance with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even his thoughts and his states and conditions are in accordance with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 100%. Not even a single inch is deviated away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. This person is called Siddiq. It's the highest rank of the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his heart was so soft. Quran Majid he would recite and he would cry. Famously, even before, in the early days of Islam, when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the permission that people can migrate and they can leave Makkatul Mukarramah because of the difficulties that the people of Makkah were imposing on the Sahaba. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was leaving. One of the chiefs, he saw him and he said, "Where are you going?" إِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْبُ. And he started to say, how can you, somebody like you, be allowed to leave Makkatul Mukarramah? You're a person who maintains family ties, and you are a person who helps the relieves the burdens of others, and you help orphans, and you help widows. We can't allow you to leave. Don't worry, I will go and speak to the chiefs of Quraysh. Nobody will harm you. So this person, he brought Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu back into Makkah. He went to the chiefs of Quraysh, and he said, look, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is under my protection. Nobody is allowed to touch him. They said, that's fine, but the condition is, we don't want him to recite Qur'an loudly. So one of the conditions, we don't want him to do tilawat of the Qur'an loudly. Why? Because Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would recite, perform his salah in his garden, and he would do tilawat of the Qur'an loudly, and all the women and children of Makkatul Mukarramah, they would gather to listen to the qira'ah and tilawat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he would be crying, and he was so appealing and so beautiful, everybody would gather to listen. So they were so worried that he is going to influence their family members. They said the condition is, if he wants to do tilawat of Qur'an, he has to do it in his house, nobody should be able to listen. So one or two days, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took quiet, and then he started to do tilawat in front of everyone. The person who gave the protection, he came and he said, you're breaking the conditions. He said, I don't care about your conditions, I can't stop this. This is what I will do. And he was left. So this was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah ta'ala gave him this soft heart that as soon as he would do tilawah of the Quran, he would be brought to tears. Inshallah, we'll just do one more, two, three hadith and the chapter is finished. Inshallah, is okay? I'll do quickly, inshallah. And then we can start the next chapter next week. وعن إبراهيم بن عبد الرحمن بن عوف أن عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله تعالى عنه أتي بطعام وكان صائما فقال قتل مصعب بن عمير رضي الله عنه وهو خير مني فلم يوجد له ما يكفل فيه إلا بردة إن غطي بها رأسه بدت رجلاه وإن غطي بها رجلاه بدا رأسه ثم بسط لنا من الدنيا ما بسط أو قال أعطينا من الدنيا ما أعطينا قد خشينا أن تكون حسناتنا عجلت لنا ثم جعل يبكي حتى ترك الطعام رواه البخاري. سيدنا عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله تعالى عنه, he was brought some food and he was fasting. Someone brought him some food for iftar. When he saw the food, he remembered سيدنا مصعب بن عمير رضي الله عنه. أبو مولانا, yesterday I was listening, مولانا مشتاق صاحب was mentioning سيدنا مصعب بن عمير رضي الله عنه. So he remembered Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umair, and he says, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu was better than me, and he was killed. He was made shaheed. And when he was killed, we couldn't find anything to shroud him with except for one chadar, one shawl. That if we covered his head with it, his feet would become exposed. If we covered his feet with his head would become exposed. ثُمَّ بُسِطَ لَنَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مَا بُسِطَ. After this, after Mus'ab radiallahu anhu and the early Sahaba who went through mujahada and hardship, they passed away. Allah Ta'ala opened the dunya in front of us. And then he says, وَأُعْطِينَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مَا أُعْطِينَا. That Allah Ta'ala gave so much of the dunya. In this time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the conquests happened, so many futuhat. And then all of the spoils, Medina was full, the coffers of Medina were full, the Baytul Mal was full. You're distributing their wealth. There was not a single poor person left in Madinatul Munawwara. Everybody was wealthy. So much wealth was coming in. So of course, when a lot of wealth comes in, then the standards of life, they start to improve. So Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf is looking at all of this and he's remembering Mus'ab bin Umair and those Sahaba. They gave everything for the sake of Allah. They didn't see any benefit in this dunya. They went. And then he says, قَدْ خَشِينَا أَن تَكُونَ حَسَنَاتُنَا عُجِّلَتْ لَنَا. I am scared that maybe Allah Ta'ala is giving me the reward of my deeds in this dunya. When they will see a blessing from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, they will feel, what's the ayat? Man kana yuridu. Just the ayat, that's the one Haji Sahib say, man kana yuridu harth al-akhirati nazil lahu fi harthi, man kana yuridu. Another one, man kana yuridu thawab al-dunya nu'tihi minha, wa ma lahu fi al-akhirati min nasib. That whoever wants the reward in this dunya, that I do good deeds, and in the good deeds I want Allah Ta'ala to give me a cushy job, nice house, nice family, nice car, nice everything. And this is my focus. Unfortunately, in this day and age, it's happening to a lot of people. Right? Because we all have financial pressures, and we all have this, and we all have that. So I'm going to do all of these things, taki Allah Ta'ala dunya ke andar mere masail ko hal kar de. Jitne musibate hain, all the problems, all the parishani that I have, I want Allah to remove all. So we're so focused on this. But if you read this dua, yeh parishani hal ho jayegi. Read this dua, all this will be removed. Read this dua, everything. So we want everything here. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, man kana yuridu thawab al-dunya nu'tihi minha. Whoever wants their thawab, their reward in this dunya, we will give them their reward in this dunya. Wa ma lahu fil akhirati min nasib. In the akhirat, they will have no portion, no share. So Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf is worried that I'm doing all these good a'mal. What if Allah is giving me the reward in this dunya and in the akhirah I have nothing left? And he started to cry, and then ثُمَّ تَرَكَتْ طَعَامٍ, and then he left the food. He didn't even touch the food. He didn't even eat the food. وَعَنْ أَبِي أُمَامَةَ صُدَيِّ بْنِ عَجْلَانَ الْبَاهِلِيِّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ قَطْرَتَيْنِ وَأَثَرَيْنِ قَطْرَةِ دُمُوعٍ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَقَطْرَةِ دَمٍ تُهْرَاهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَأَمَّا الْأَثَرَانِ فَأَثَرٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَأَثَرٌ فِي فَرِيضَةٍ مِنْ فَرَائِضِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن وفي الباب أحاديث كثيرة منها حديث العرباض بن سارية رضي الله عنه قال وعظنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم موعظة وجلت منها القلوب وذرفت منها العيون. سيدنا أبو أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates from رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has stated there is nothing more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than two drops دو قطرة. The first one is the drop of tears which flows out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala ke dar se jo aansu ka qatra girta hai, ye Allah ta'ala ke nazdik bahut zyada mahboob aur pasandeeda hai. And the second is qatratu damin tuhraqu fi sabilillah, the drop of blood which emerges from the body in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shaheed, the person fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they bleed from their body, this drop of blood is so beloved and dear in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Look how our brothers and sisters in Palestine and all over the world, people who are giving their lives for the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that drop of blood coming out of the body is so beloved to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And wa atharani, and two effects which are very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the effect of someone who goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the effect of the path of Allah. The ulama mention either, you know, the wounds and the cuts which a person receives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or, you know, the footsteps of the animals which have gone in the path of Allah. This is extremely beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and the effect of a fulfilling an obligation from the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You perform salah. Ulama mentioned here, sometimes a person has an effect of the mark of sajda on their forehead. And similarly, sometimes a person physically takes a toll. Sometimes a person is tired because they awake at night performing tahajjud salah. So these different forms of effect which takes place, similarly effect on your financial state because you've been donating so much in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These effects are extremely... Is the effect a correct translation? Possibly. These are extremely beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, the hadith mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon in front of us, a khutbah, a speech. And it was such a speech that wajilat minha al-qulubu, the hearts, they trembled because of it. Wadharafat minha al-uyunu, and the tears started to flow because of it. It's the power of certain khutbah, inna min al-bayani la sihra. Sometimes a person's speech, subhanallah, is beneficial. Speeches, similarly bayans, this and that, especially pious people, we sit in their company, we listen to their talk, many times it creates a revolution in the life of the person. Even tilawat of the Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an, na'ats and nasheeds and these kind of things, many times, subhanallah, powerful effect. Shaykh Murni Yusuf Mutala, rahmatullahi alayhi, I remember he did an entire talk on the fada'il of listening to na'ats. Right. Sometimes people put you off this, yeah, and they say, just listen to Qur'an. Listen to Qur'an. Everything has its own place. To create this love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many times these things are very, very beneficial. That if the wording is good, and there's no music inside of it, and the wording is good, and the couplets have been composed by our pious scholars. Subhanallah, you read, you know, so many books which are there, and they preserve the poetry of the great scholars of Hindustan and the great awliya who came before them, who had such love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you just read one or two lines of that poetry, it really makes a big difference upon the heart. So inshallah, that's also a very beneficial thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice upon these few things. Subhanallah. You sure? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Thank you.